Blog Talk Radio.
I'm muted or unmuted. Hello.
Yes, sir. How you doing? Yes, sir. We on.
All right. All right. You got me unmuted?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good evening. Good day to all of you, ladies, gentlemen, fellow Christians, fellow ministers of Jesus Christ, to all the faithful who are on this radio broadcast tonight, as well as those who are our guests. We are welcoming you once again to another global, worldwide broadcast of Christ, coming out of the United States of America. We are your co-hosts tonight, Brother James Johnson, minister of the Par Edition Church of Christ, which meets in Wharton, Texas, USA, and myself, Brother Leroy Williams Jr., co-minister of the Par Edition Church of Christ, which meets in Wharton, Texas, USA. We're just so glad to be on the air again tonight. We apologize for the small delay, but now that we're on, we're going to go ahead and complete our program as scheduled. We want to thank Brother Brian Brown. He is our faithful moderator who queues up this program for worldwide broadcast each day that we broadcast. And we just thank him for having things ready to go, and so that when we came in, we could just start the program for you. We're also thankful to all of you who got in on the time slot that we have told you and have been waiting patiently for our broadcast event. We also want to say thank you to the Darien Loop Church of Christ, which meets on Darien Loop in Houston, Texas, USA. The Darien Loop congregation, week in, week out, and has been faithfully supporting it for the last 5 to 10 years. And we just appreciate them for their faithfulness and for their dedication to sharing the gospel of salvation to the world. That's a fulfillment of Jesus' instructions in Mark 16, 15 and 16, where he commanded his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. Whoever believes and obeys the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. And those who refuse to obey the gospel's commandment for baptism are condemned. Now, somebody say, you mean God going to condemn us? No. God is not going to condemn man at all. Man is already condemned. We are all sinners before we meet Christ. Before we even know it, we have sinned and trespassed God's will. And all we do is when we hear the gospel, we recognize our sin condition. And then God expects us to do the only thing that we can do to get rid of our sin, and that is to obey the commandment of the gospel, to be baptized in water baptism with the Holy Spirit by faith, so that we are raised from the spiritual dead to eternal life in our spirit in Christ. See, the soul of man is the spiritual part of man, which is the image of God. God is John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And they that worship him must worship him with their spirit according to his truth. You see, we, our spirits, come before God to worship him, to adore him, to honor him, and to be obedient and faithful to him. And that's what we do when we worship. Worship is a form of devotion. Our devotion to God is something that is not characteristic only on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Bible class night, but it is evident 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days every year. We are devoted to God and doing His will for the entirety of our life. Once we have been raised from the spiritual dead, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away our sins, and we are made children of God. We become children of God. We get to wear God's name. We get to call Him Father. We get to talk to God whenever we have need. And we also have a continuing relationship with God through faithfulness. That is, as long as we live, if we commit sins or acts of sin, whether it's by omission or commission, by knowledge or by ignorance, we have an opportunity under grace, which is the continual, perpetual forgiveness of sin. We have an opportunity and a right under grace to repent and ask God for forgiveness and be renewed in faith unto God. So you don't have to get baptized but one time. There's only one baptism that is proper and necessary, and that is the obedience to the gospel call. When one hears the word of God, hear how that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried in Joseph's new tomb, and rose again the morning, early the morning of the third day, and is alive forevermore, and is reigning on His spiritual throne in heaven, throne of God, because He is God, our Savior. So we just want you to know that Jesus is God revealed. And Jesus gave His perfect life on the cross so that you and I might be free from sin and have or obtain eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to obey the same form of doctrine that we hear when we recognize the facts of the gospel. We too must die. How's that, Brother Williams? We must die to the love. Stop wanting to sin. Let your faith unto God be directed toward Jesus Christ and His salvation. So we have to die to the love and practice of sin. Because that's what we did before we met Christ. We practiced sin and we liked it. It's time out for that now. Sin equals death. If you want to be spiritually dead and go to the place of the spiritual dead, which is hell, fire, and brimstone, then you just keep on disobeying God and just don't even worry about obeying the gospel. But we must obey the gospel. God intends to take the faithful, obedient ones to heaven when He comes to receive His church in the final day of judgment. So we got to be in the church, we got to be faithful in the church, and we got to die in faith. Now, the gospel is God's power to save our souls. God decided that the foolishness of preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ was adequate and all that is necessary to have one be converted, condemned, and desperate sinner to a loving, faithful, and eternally saved soul, a son of God. We become the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We got to believe in Christ. Jesus said, except you believe in me, you shall die in your sins. John chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. You got to believe Christ for who He is and believe in the sacrifice that He made on your behalf and my behalf. And we have to be willing to accept that and obey the commandments of His will. Jesus commanded baptism for the removal of sin, baptism for the salvation from sin. baptism for the forgiveness of sins past, all of your past sins that you have committed up until the time that you meet Jesus Christ by the word and preaching of the gospel. God will forgive you of all of those sins the moment that you agree and are baptized into Jesus Christ. Water baptism. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, brother. Wait, I thought the water ain't, the water don't save you. No. Jesus saves by his powerful blood. But in order for you to experience that spiritual salvation, you have to obey his command regarding baptism. In John, the book of St. John, chapter 3 and verse number 5, Jesus was talking to a Israeli or to a teacher of Israel, one of the elders who was a teacher, a scribe of the Old Testament league, Nicodemus. We've heard about Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Christ by night, countrymen knowing of his confederacy with coming to Christ and wanting to ridicule and destroy him as a religious leader. Nevertheless, he took that chance because he wanted to find out something. He wanted to find out what is something special about this Jesus Christ. Is something special about this teacher. He's different from me. He got something going for himself that I don't have. He can do miracles and he can heal, work wonders. And we know that what he does is the power of God being manifest in the world. So Nicodemus said, Master, we know that you are a teacher come from God, because no one has ever, nor can anyone do the miracles and the manner in which you do them. Jesus says, you must be born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus say, well, wait a minute. What are you talking about, Jesus? Are you saying that I got to go back into my mother's womb and be born all over again like a newborn baby? Jesus said, no. Except you be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus was talking about how to become a citizen and a member of the spiritual family of God. Jesus said, we're talking about spirit. He said, now, that which is flesh is flesh. You've already been born in the flesh. You're not talking about being born in the flesh again. We're talking about being born in the spirit again. See, you were born in the spirit of righteousness and sanctification the moment you were born, conceived, and born from your mother unto your father. You came into this world without sin in your spiritual life. But as we grow from infant, adult, or preteen, or whatever, and we become aware by the hearing and preaching of the gospel of Christ that we have stand in jeopardy of our eternal life, our soul's eternal life, because of sins that we committed. And we know we've committed sins. We done lied. We done lied to our parents, probably. Huh? We've been disobedient to our own parents. Huh? We have done some things we ought not to do. We probably have fought. We probably have stolen. Huh? We've done things that are against the will of God. And we are made aware of it by hearing the preaching of the gospel. God is looking for righteous and holy men to be a part of his spiritual kingdom and to serve him in the spiritual family of the saved. So, baptism is that solution that God has provided for man to be able to get rid of his sins and be saved in Christ. There is no sin in Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 5. So you can't be in Christ and at the same time be in sin. When we are sinners, when we sin and commit errors, we are in sin. God wants you to come out of that and obey the gospel and be saved from the condemnation. And so when we obey the gospel, we go through the same form and action that Christ went through. Christ died on the cross. We have to die to the love and practice of sin. Christ was buried in Joseph's new tomb. We must be buried in the liquid tomb of baptism, water baptism. That's our liquid tomb. Then Christ rose from the dead, never to die again. We are risen from the watery grave of baptism into new and everlasting life. We have a life, Brother Johnson, because it's not in within man's power. Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion, a man can take away your physical life, but he cannot kill your soul. Only sin will kill our soul. And once we are baptized into Christ, we have the sensibility, the faithfulness, and dedication to God to avoid sin, to deny ourselves the desire to sin, and to do righteousness according to the word and instructions of the Lord. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are in the world, this is your opportunity in hearing this message of the gospel, to obey it and be saved for eternal life, and to live a daily lifestyle that is pleasing and faithful and acceptable to God. Only those who have obeyed the gospel can enjoy the blessings of God's eternal salvation. If we fail to remain faithful to God after having been saved from imminent destruction in hell, then we will revert, or we will go back into that state of sinfulness, which is displeasing to God. And if we die in that sin, we are going to be lost in eternal damnation in hell. Now, the gospel has hope. It has exhortation, but it also has a warning. And the reason God does that is because, man, you must make a choice. You have the right and the responsibility to choose for yourself which life you want to live. God doesn't encourage anyone to go to hell, but he does command us to repent and come and go to heaven. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. At the times of this ignorance, referring to the Old Testament system, where men would give animal sacrifice once a year for the forgiveness of sins, and it lasted until the next year, and man had to do it all over again. Well, God did it that way for a time. But now there is no excuse for anyone who desires to be saved and who desires to live faithful to God in Christ Jesus. Now he commands everyone to repent and obey the gospel of salvation in order to be saved and become his spiritual child once again. When our soul is dead, we are no longer the children of God. We are the sons of disobedience, the sons of damnation and hell. But when we hear with our spiritual minds, our spiritual ears, our spiritual understanding, the voice of Jesus Christ through the gospel, calling us out of eternal damnation into his marvelous light of salvation, when we obey his command, then we are transferred out of the kingdom or the realm of eternal damnation into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of Christ. That's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Ladies and gentlemen, and to all of those who are participating with us in this broadcast. We encourage you not only to listen to the words that we speak from the Word of God, but that you will write these scripture references down. Write them down, ladies and gentlemen, so that you can go back and read them again for yourself in your Bible. And as you read them, your heart will be open to understanding what the Word and the will of God is, and you can understand the importance of obeying God for yourself. Each one of us, whether we are man, woman, teenager, young person, boy, girl, married or unmarried, every individual soul is accountable to God. God has set a day in which he will judge the wicked men of the world. That is, he will punish them for all eternity. In that day, he will save the faithful servants who have come into his will and testament, his New Testament. He will save and reward us with the inheritance that he promised. That is, eternal life in heaven with God, in the presence of God our Savior, singing praises and speaking honor and glory to his name, worshiping him throughout one eternal day. Because in heaven, there is no night. In hell, it is one eternal night, because hell is spiritual darkness and sin. Salvation in heaven is eternal light, which is God. God is the light of that city called heaven. God, who is Jesus Christ, is the light of that city. Today, he is the light of men. He is the direction that men must turn to and follow after in order to reach heaven. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. No man can come to the spiritual Father except he come through faith in me. Why? Because Jesus is the standard bearer for eternal salvation for mankind. In Ephesians chapter 1, 21 and 22, the Holy Spirit, by the hand of the Apostle Paul, writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he says that God has made Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is in charge. Jesus Christ is God the Savior. He is God. And there is only one God. We're not talking about two different gods, Brother Johnson. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about three different gods. We're talking about one God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. We are to be united in our spiritual relationship to God by faith and obedience to the commandment of his gospel. What's the commandment of the gospel? Repent and be baptized in the name, that is, by the authority and power of Jesus Christ. What power? The power of his cleansing blood. What name? The name of God our Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The day that the church was established on earth in the lifetimes of New Testament men and women was in May the 28th at 9 a.m. that Sunday morning, which was also being observed by the Jews, Judaizers, as the Day of Atonement back in A.D. 33. That's the year 33, the year of our Lord, 33. This is now the year of our Lord, 2020. It's been almost 2,000 years since the Church of Christ began and men were able to obey the truth and spiritually come into the spiritual relationship, the body of Christ. That day, the 12 apostles, Peter and the 11, preached the first gospel sermon in the city of Jerusalem, just like the prophets had predicted would happen in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 28 through 30. It was prophesied that God would build a house and would start a spiritual family that would reign with him in his spiritual throne, and it would be a worldwide kingdom, and it would begin from the city of Jerusalem. Read those scriptures that I gave you and go and see. It was predicted, it was prophesied thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born to the world. But when we read 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, God reveals to us his purpose and plan, and it's no mistaking. It says, this is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was seen and ministered to of angels. He was preached on in this world, the world in which we live. He was preached on in this world, world of humanity. And he was believed on in this world. Finally, he was received back into heaven, where he reigns as God the Creator, God the Supreme, the one true God, the Savior of all men's souls who obey him. So you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, it's no getting around Jesus Christ. There's some religious folk that claim Jesus Christ was created. He was a created God when he was formed as a baby and born of Mary. No, sir, and no, ma'am. Jesus Christ is from the beginning and is everlasting because he is God. In John, the book of St. John, verse 1, the Holy Spirit says, in the beginning was the Word. What Word? The Word of God. And the Word was with God. The Word existed in the beginning. The Word was right there with God in the creation that we read about in Genesis chapter 1. And it concludes, the Word was God. The Word was the power and strength by which God created all that we see and know as this universe. If God, the Word, did the creating, and Jesus is the Word of God, Jesus existed before man ever existed. He is not a figmentation of God's imagination, nor is he a ghost of mine or your imagination. He is the one true God, the true and the living God. He is the living Word. He's not words like the ones we see written on a page that are dead letters. He is the spiritual, eternal, life-giving Word of this, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't believe this, you have never repented your sin. You will never be saved. You can never go to heaven. You are whistling Dixie without a prayer if you think that you can ignore, that you can deny, that you can dismiss Jesus Christ for salvation. The Jews made that mistake in A.D. 33, and they are still making that same mistake. They still have not repented from Judaism and turn to Christ. But if they don't, they will not be saved for eternity in heaven. Neither will you, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, write this down. The Holy Ghost makes this statement to the church. Those who are troubled, be patient and remain faithful with us. When the Lord Jesus shall descend from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, he will be taking vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of Christ and those who do not know, have taken no knowledge of the truth. They have disrespected, dismissed, and omitted any obligation to God. They don't even try to serve God. He is going to take fiery vengeance. What is that fiery vengeance? Fiery vengeance that is called hell, damnation, and punishment. And it's eternal punishment. You will, once you get to hell, you will not have an opportunity to get out. It's permanent, and that's the way it was. You're not going to burn up and disappear. You're going to burn. You're going to burn in a spiritual fire that is elementally not even like the element fire that we use and we know about in this earth. It's so hot, it will burn and melt the sun. It will dissolve the earth and the heavens. Chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Read it in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. It's right there. Everybody got a Bible. And the Bible reads the same no matter whether you read it in Chinese or Pekingese or Vietnamese or any other. It's going to read the same because it is one word. It is the holy word of God. It's the book of the Lord. It was written by God. God used men. I thought men wrote the Bible. God used men to write the Bible, like you and I would use a pen and a piece of paper to write somebody a letter. I wrote the letter, but I used a pen and a piece of paper to put it down and send it or get it prepared for you to read it. Then I used a postal service and put a stamp on it and mailed it to you. God has mailed his revelation to all mankind. You receive it by the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't receive it by being knocked down to your knees and screaming and shouting and your eyes rolled to the back of your head and you nearby swallow your tongue and choke with some kind of lying program that false teachers claim is that's how the Holy Ghost coming to you. You're getting the Holy Ghost when that happens. God does not create violence for those who desire to obey him and be saved. Why would God almost kill you in order to save you from death? That makes no sense. But you got lying prophets who believe that when you go to action like that, that's when you're getting the Holy Ghost. That's not how you get the Holy Ghost according to the word of God. See, we need to start, we got to, look, ladies and gentlemen, understand something. Brother Johnson and myself, we are ministers of Christ. All we preach is the gospel doctrine of Christ. It is written in the New Testament Bible. Everybody who has a Bible, a New Testament Bible, has a copy of it. You can go and read it for yourself. You can read the scriptures and verify that the words I'm speaking are the same words that God speaks to you out of his revelation, the Holy Bible. Yeah. That's what we encourage you to do, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just take my word for it. Brother Johnson will tell you, don't take his word for it. Read it for yourself. And beware, if you read and take knowledge of the truth and you turn your back in unfaithfulness and doubt and do not obey the truth, you will be going in the same direction you was going before you met Christ. You'll be on your way to hell. You are going to hell. Somebody says, now you judging, Brother William. How do you know I'm going to hell? I'm not saying that you are going to hell as though I'm declaring judgment on you. That's God's responsibility. What I'm telling you is you're going in the direction of hell because that's the only way you can go if you're not coming to God. See, God is salvation and Satan is damnation. You're either going one way or the other. Now, if you keep on the pathway, which is it's a big, wide pathway that goes to hell, because hell is going to have a whole lot of folks. More souls are going to be lost in hell than saved in heaven. That's a fact. Jesus said so in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. He said it himself, and Jesus is God. He did not lie. He knows the mind of God because he is God. You and I can know the mind of God by reading the revelation of the Bible, the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, that's God speaking to you his desire, his thought, and his intent for your eternal life and salvation. It begins, ladies and gentlemen, when you repent. We must stop going the wrong way. We must stop doing the wrong thing. We must stop worshiping God in disobedience to his will and way. We got to stop believing false doctrine. We got to stop believing in ourselves as our Savior and recognize that only God can save you. We have to acknowledge God in order to receive his salvation. We got to stop denying him. We got to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, God, and Savior. He is the Savior of all who obey him in the church. He is the Savior of the church, which is his spiritual body. He is the head of the church, which is his spiritual body. The church of Christ and the body of Christ are spiritually the same thing. They are not two different things. They are the same. The Word, which is Christ, is the same thing. The Word is spirit and eternal life. The church is spirit and eternal life. The body of Christ is spirit and eternal life. We're not talking about a physical body of flesh and blood, ladies and gentlemen. Flesh and blood cannot enter the realm of heaven. That's why we must all be changed out of this flesh and blood body at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ before we can ever enter into heaven itself. When we die, we take off this mortal shell, this mortal dressing, this mortal clothes, and we receive a spiritual body that is suited for all eternity. That's what we must do. Otherwise, we cannot see God. Flesh and blood cannot see God. Only spirit can see God. Your spirit of your mind is the only way in which you can see and know and experience God in your life. If your spirit is not in agreement with God's spirit, which is his word, you are not in a spiritually saved relationship with God. If you are listening to lies that are sin rather than listening to God, which is truth and righteousness, then you are not in Christ, nor do you have a spiritual relationship with God. You are a sinner. You are still in your sins. But Brother Williams, I was baptized. I got baptized when I was 12. Unto what were you baptized? I was baptized in the Baptist church when I was 12 years old. I received Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 12 years old, and I was baptized in that instant. Well, There is no Baptist church in salvation. There's no Baptist church mentioned in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There is no such thing as a Baptist baptism. It's not in the Bible. So whatever you had in the Baptist religion is not of any value to your soul salvation. You must obey the doctrine of Christ. You must receive the baptism of Christ. You must receive the indwelling Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't belong to Him. In Christ, you are His spiritual child. James chapter 1, verse 18, of His own will begat He us by the power of His word, so that we might be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. We are sons of God, born again, sons of God, by the power of His word through obedient faith. No faith, N-O faith, no salvation, N-O salvation, no Christ, N-O Christ, no God, N-O God, no heaven. But if we obey Christ, we obey the gospel, we obey the commandments to baptism, then we know, K-N-O-W, God. Then we know, K-N-O-W, Christ, the Savior. Then we know, K-N-O-W, salvation. Then we know, K-N-O-W, the way to heaven. The only way. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 6, He says to the apostles, first of all, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the eternal life. No man can get to heaven except he come through faith and obedience to me. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. He got a big old mansion up there that we can live in. Huh? Everybody got a place. All the faithful have a place in the kingdom of God. Keep you in and take you home with Him. But we have a promise, a hope of a place in heaven with God. Jesus says, I have told you about this because it is the truth. If it was not the truth, I would not have said these things to you. Jesus never lied. That's a fact. He was the only man that lived in this world for 33 years and was murdered on the cross and never lied, never hated, never bear false witness, never abused, never did any evil toward anybody. He didn't even think evil toward anybody. He's the only man of flesh and blood that ever walked the face of the earth who did it. That's why He was the perfect sacrifice that God could use in order to be able to forgive men everywhere and in every generation of their sins. It's interesting to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross before He shed or His blood was shed. His blood was shed signifying the end of the prophecies about Him when the Roman soldier who thought to come to His cross, break His legs, so he might have internal bleeding and die quickly because they did not want to leave a body. It was against the Jewish rule to leave a body hanging on a cross or die in death and in punishment on the Sabbath day. Well, the Sabbath day, on the Day of Atonement, which was Sunday, the Passover day. It was the day of the Passover observance in worship to God. It was the only time that the Jews would go to the temple for worship, Sunday. Well, the Sabbath day Sunday began after 6 p.m. Saturday because that is considered the first day of it, and it is the Saturday night. Jesus was buried in Joseph's new tomb before 6 p.m. Saturday. Actually, before 6 p.m. Friday. All right? It was Friday when he was crucified, and he was buried before 6 p.m. so as not to profane the Passover celebration. He was in the grave that day. Then he was in the grave that night. Then he was in the grave that next day and that next night. And then he was in the grave that next day, which was a night, and he rose from the dead at the beginning of the third day, just as the Holy Scriptures have prophesied about him. He is the arm of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 11 through 13. He is the right hand of God. He is sitting on the right hand of God. He is the power of God. Power on the throne of God, because he is God. The power of God is God, Brother Johnson. The active working of God is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Son is God. The Father is God. They are one God. Three manifestations, personalities of God in one God. Somebody say, that don't sound right, Brother Williams. How can they be, all of them be God? Well, let me ask you something. If you look at your life, and you're an adult, you are some man's son. Am I right about it? If you are, have fathered children, you are someone's father. Am I right about it? If you have brothers and sisters that you grew up with in your family, you are someone's brother or sister. Am I right about it? Those three associations, those three relationships are not three different people. They're not three different bodies. They are one person, one body. They are you. So is God. God is one God. Don't try to make it hard on yourself, ladies and gentlemen, trying to explain a lie. Just listen to the truth. Read 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're one what? They're one God. Now, there's three that bear record in earth: the Word, the water, and the Spirit of man. See, when you obey Christ, you are agreeing with the will of God. Your spirit is made alive. Your spirit then becomes a witness and a testimony for God. You're going to teach and speak and pronounce his salvation of your soul in your life. You're going to tell everybody you can, I was saved. You're going to tell them how you were saved: by obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing less. How did you obey the gospel of Christ? I was baptized into Christ for the removal of my sins, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, according to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 and 27, according to Galatians chapter 1, verses 26, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. I was baptized into Christ. I was baptized into Christ, and I was born in of, or I came forth from, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not only the power, but he is the record. He is the seal of my salvation. I'm identified as being a Holy Spirit in Christ. And the only reason I can say that and believe that and be that is because God, the Holy Spirit, makes it so.
Man.
Peter and the 12 apostles on the day of Pentecost said that you are to repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the removal of your sins. And guess what? You're going to receive a gift from God. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost as a witness and a testimony of our faith and obedience to God is given to all those who obey God. Somebody say, well, that can't be right, Brother William, because I can't lay hands on the sick and they recover, and I can't raise the dead, and I can't speak in other men's tongues, or I can't speak the unknown tongue. The problem with you is, ladies and gentlemen, is that you're being taught a lie about salvation. That aspect is about the receiving of power from the Holy Ghost to proclaim and to prove in a world of uncertainty that the certainty of the will of God is upon you. That power was given to certain of the church. First of all, it was given to the 12 apostles by God himself, the Holy Spirit. And then it was given to certain others by the Holy Spirit's direction and the laying on of the hands of the apostles. Men today don't have it. The apostles are not physically living today, so they can't lay hands on you, me, or anyone and impart the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit into our life for the cause of confirming what is the truth. The Word of God has already been confirmed. The Holy Ghost has ended his ministry on earth regarding the establishment of the Church of Christ and the body of knowledge to govern it. It's all been done. The Holy Spirit gave the knowledge, the power, the ability to men to write it down. And great, that it was a whole lot of men involved in writing the Bible. One man didn't write the whole Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit. God in his wisdom chose men of different generations, Brother Johnson. Some men lived 5,000 years before the other man. Yet they wrote the Word of God, and the Word of God they wrote agrees with what God had the other man to write. There is no contradiction. Huh? Everything is held together as one truth. So the Word of God is not written from the mind and the thoughts and the education and wise deduction of men. It is the wisdom of God revealed. And again, God used men to write the Bible just like you use a paper and a pen or pencil to write your letter. Bible is God's letter to mankind. It's God's voice which calls dead souls out of slumber, out of death, into eternal life. See, spiritually, the only word that you can hear or respond to is God's word.
That's it.
And you are able to because God has made you able.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Yes, you were dead in trespasses and sin, but by obeying the voice of Christ in the gospel, you are now made alive in the spirit for eternal life, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I want to stop right here. We want you to know this broadcast is already paid for. We are not on this call to sell prayer cloths or to sell holy water or to solicit a financial donation from you, huh? Or to sell you anything. We're only here to teach you and to share with you how you might be saved from your sins and eternal death in hell, by obedience to the gospel of God by Jesus Christ. That's it. By faith in Christ. See, what you believe in is what you'll do. Somebody said, well, what are you talking about, Brother Wayne? Well, some people believe in playing bingo and playing for money. They believe in gambling. They believe in playing the lottery to win. So those who believe in it, guess what they do? They take every dollar they can get their hands on to spend for that lottery.
Right.
They'll buy a $1 ticket. They'll buy a $5 ticket. They'll buy a $100 ticket. They'll buy whatever they can afford. Huh? They'll buy $100 worth of $1 ticket. They'll do whatever they can to participate and to play that lottery. Now, if they didn't believe in it, they wouldn't play it. Am I right about it? Huh? If a man didn't believe in eating, he would stop eating, wouldn't he? If a man don't believe in going to the doctor, he'll never go to the doctor, will he? You see? Whatever you believe in, that's what you're going to obey. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, God, and eternal Savior, then you will obey Christ. You'll obey Christ today, not tomorrow, not when it's convenient for you, but you'll do it right now. If the opportunity, as the opportunity affords you, you will obey Christ. All you got to do is find the group of saved souls which worship together as the Church of Christ in your city, in your nearby city, in your country, wherever you are in the world. There is a body, a congregation of the body of Christ, which assembles every first day of the week and maybe one or two days in the week for studying together in your community, in your city, in your state, in your country. And it is called the Church of Christ. It's not called the Baptist Church. It's not called the Holiness Church. It's not called the Catholic Church. It's not called the Methodist Church. It's not called the Episcopal Church. It's not called the Church of Latter-day Saints, Mormon. It's not called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's not called the Lakewood Church. It's not called the Potter's House Church. It's not called the Church Without Walls. It's not called the Temple of Israel. Huh? It's not called the Temple of Buddha. It's not called the Temple of Siddhartha. It's not called anything other than the Church of Christ. That's what it is called because that's the name. The Church of Christ is married to Christ. Romans 7, verse 4. You have become dead to the law of sin and death by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ on the cross. That you should be married to another. Married to who? To him who was raised from the dead. That's Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're in Christ, then you are a part of the spiritual bride of Christ, and you are married to Christ. That's whose name you wear. You don't wear some name that men have made up or some name that belongs to some other man. You wear the name of Christ. That's what makes you a Christian. If you're born into the spiritual family of Christ, you wear your father's name. That's Christ. That's why you're called a Christian. My children are called Williamses because they got their name from me, their father. My name is Mr. Williams. All of my children were born to me wearing my name. You're not born into Christ wearing another name that God didn't command you to wear. Understand that, ladies and gentlemen. So now, at this time, let's take a moment. We're going to have a word of prayer to God in thanksgiving and beseeching more blessing for this broadcast. After I get through with that, I'm giving the mic over to my fellow minister and co-host, Brother James Johnson, because he has some words from the Lord that he wants to share with you. I'll guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, he got something that you need to hear. So we're going to give him that opportunity in just one moment. Let's bow in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, who is God, our Savior, the living God, the Father of the faithful. We bow our hearts in humility and thanksgiving before you, dear God. We reverence you and your name. We obey your will and commandment. We preach your gospel and commandment to men. We are your servants, dear God, to do your bidding. We are honored, dear God, to be able to call you our Father and to wear your name. We're thankful, dear God, that we are identified in the Spirit as your children. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we teach the word tonight, that as those who have not heard nor obeyed the gospel of Christ, that they will make it up in their mind and repent in their mind that I'm going to follow Jesus. And follow you all the way to heaven, dear God. Follow in your word, your footsteps, follow in your teachings and commandments, your precepts and examples, that we might become servants and rather citizens and inhabitants of heaven itself, where we'll be in your presence throughout the eternal day, that we may praise and glorify you forever. Thank you, dear God, for giving us this opportunity where we can be just like the angels, right there around the throne, serving you, dear God, worshiping you, saying glory, honor, and praise be to the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb who has saved us and redeemed us, giving honor to the sacrifice that you made for us because we were unable to save ourselves.
Amen.
Thank you, dear God. We pray that other men will do the same as we have done, obey the gospel and tell it to others so that many more souls will hear, believe, and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
God bless you. Brother Johnson, I give you the mic. You got the floor, my brother.
Yes. The truth must be preached.
Amen.
Men just don't know. You can run, but you can't hide. You can fly high in the sky. Paraphrase for a minute. But God's still in control.
Amen.
I was looking at the news every day about this disease. I hear nobody say, well, we're going to try to worship God, try to solve this problem through Jesus Christ. We done went and got all the doctors.
Yep.
We can find.
Politicians.
Scientists. All the scientists that you got, but you still can't find it. And every time you turn the TV on, there's tens of thousands are dying daily.
Amen.
In the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
In the funeral homes, in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
They're dying. So why should I go to a nursing home and die there? I can die right here and get over with.
Amen.
You see, people will do anything but do what God says.
Amen.
But you know what? It's even in the church of the Christ, they ain't doing no better. They talk that talk, but they ain't doing no better.
They saying anything. That's a lie.
They're afraid to come together.
Yes.
But they say they have faith in God.
Yeah.
But they're afraid to come together.
But we all supposed to be brothers, huh?
Supposed to be brothers in Christ.
Yeah.
But we're still afraid to come together.
We don't act like
it. You see, God's going to show you that all people are not his.
Amen.
Matthew 7:21-23. Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven,
mm-hmm.
but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will have said, I prophesied, cast out devils, did many wonderful works. He will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they depart now from him.
Oh,
they
yeah.
dying.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Dying in their sin.
Dying in their sin. Because, see, the coronavirus ain't killing their soul. Mm-hmm. They're just destroying their intellect of their body, but sin is killing their soul.
Amen.
If a man died at night and ain't in Christ, he'll lose.
Amen.
You see, dying is not to be afraid of. What's afraid of is what's going to happen after the dying.
Yes.
If you're not in the church that Jesus purchased over 2,000 years ago or better,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to hear.
Amen.
Huh? And Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, he said, all power given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Yes.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. There's so many people will not obey the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They study talking about getting the jobs back on the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said, let's go to worship God on planet Earth.
Yes, thank God.
Oh, you know what? Oh, God got an answer for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
See, we can go back to work. We can do all of that, whatever we're going to do. But guess what? What is it going to do when you don't got nothing else? What is you going to do then?
Mm-hmm. Are you going to worship God?
You know what you're going to do? You're going to still do what you've been doing all the time. Mm. You see, God's got the nursing home sold up.
Mm-hmm.
He got all these government things. And you know, a lot of them really ready to go back to the job, really, because they're afraid that the job may not hold up.
Yes.
They'll go to these hamburger joints and pizza joints and different things like that. But the real job to go to make the president happy, they ain't in a hurry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Cuomo say, no, we ain't over this. Look at the people that have died in New York.
Today.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
All these folks dying in these hospitals.
Today.
I'm talking about big hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
They go there, they don't come back.
Amen.
They put them in the ground. That's it. The president's still talking that off the wall talk. God is going to have to correct something here.
Yes.
Sooner or later, God wants to ease it. Tell them that they can't go no further. Because I'm looking at it every day. I said, look at here, Lord. Lord, have mercy on our soul.
Amen.
We need help.
Yes, we do.
From God. Not from man. Man has nothing. Listening to my children and granddaughters, man. Well, you did. Let me tell you something. I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell them when they call me tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. I'm not going.
Not.
I got a mission to fulfill. I can't do it up in a nursing home.
No.
See, those folks. I don't know what they got, and they don't know what I got. I can survive right here. I can cut it on out. So either way it go, I got to cut it on out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling myself when my mother died, nobody's really could go to the funeral, but the phone is already there. I said, but y'all, nobody's thought about that. But now, if my wife died, then what do I do then?
Mm.
I said, now, keep going to this place. I pray and hope that she don't get the virus going to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, just because she's going don't mean she can't get it. Then if she gets, they want to look at me crazy. Don't look at me. You see, the doctor can send you somewhere and still not be right all the time. You see, we need to look out and watch what we're doing and quit being smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing what God says.
Yes.
Moving from town to town or space to space ain't going to solve the problem. The reason why people are not listening to the gospel anymore, because God has seen what the faithfulness of people are not doing. His own children going back to the world. God warned his people, don't go back to the world. He said, don't do it. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, especially in the latter time, some shall depart.
mm-hmm.
in America. Then we got folks who won't even obey at all.
Mm.
Huh? Yeah, God sees it. He's looking right at it. We don't want to do what he tells us. But yet, we call on him when trouble comes.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the president sitting up there. Look at congressmen sitting up there. They come out on stage writing down this and that. I think it's about time for us to go back to work. See, God got to step it up something. God got to drop something heavier than the coronavirus. See, when something hit them and they go to falling like flies, which they are doing now, but they're going to do worse. And the worse it gets, the country dies. That's it. Got to be careful. Might not be another generation. Who knows? All I hear people say is money, 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 money. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7 through 10, money is the root of all evil. Men love money more than they love God. They love pleasure. They love this more than they do God.
Yeah.
They don't love God. They hate it with a compassion.
Mm.
But the time is coming, Brother William. They don't beg God. I'm telling you. They're trying to fight the fire without the fuel in it. But you know what? The water got to put it out. Old man don't want to hear what God got to say. I listened to folks say, well, I put on my Sunday clothes this past Sunday, and I dressed up like I was going to church, and I sat before the TV and listened to the internet. And then I put my collection in some kind of bag and sun it in. And then I took this here through the vine and sat there and drank it. What are you afraid of?
Mm.
There's so many people
mm-hmm.
that trust God. I don't believe that. Why is it faith there?
Yeah.
Why is it really at? The circular of the world, or is it just a mouthful of estimate you just say it? I don't believe you trust God. Because you trust God, you get us to worship. I ain't scared to worship God because the plague is out here. This ain't going to be the first, this ain't going to be the last plague. Because, see, God is going to always have to destroy man some kind of way because man won't repent. You see, sin begins at home and it goes abroad. And men still sinning. Men still sinning. Men still sinning. Men still sinning. It's going on and on and on. And the devil is running to and fro throughout the earth, checking out everything. I'm going to make you sin one way or the other. Look at the president, the vice president. You see, everybody's trying to elect them a new president. But they better hope that God be, this man got some God fearing in him. Because if they don't, they're going to have a problem. Donald Trump is a sad case. I mean, I look at it, and I said, why the hell? He said, look here, we got to get God back in the plan.
Yep.
He never said, just get up there with a little sheet of paper, start talking. He knows it's time for him to go. So he said, I better make me some money before these 4 or 5 months is up. Because I ain't going to make it president. I think the people are seeing what's going down. I was listening to Joe Biden and Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's a change. Donald Trump, I wouldn't look at, if I was him, I'm going to change quick. Because he don't know when God's going to come through. God's coming through, and we don't even see it. So only those who see it are those who got knowledge of him and looking straight ahead. They go, God, walking through. And he walking through with the dust of his feet. The Bible, look here, there has been 30-some people that already got wasted in tornadoes and hurricanes. But they still don't feel God. What is the problem? Where's the problem with this? God, I know you ain't going to hurt me. I know you love me enough, but I done killed God and let millions die. In 1 year, just died. They just gone. and that wasn't in Christ either. But the Bible tells me in Romans 6:1-4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. As if Christ was raised from the dead, we could also walk in the newness of life. Oh, we ought to be ready. Every time I think about it, I should be, Lord, have mercy. I just got to keep saying it because it bothers me. I never, ever thought we would see this much death. I mean, you see it before the next day. Huh? You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
We see it the next day.
Yeah, if we focus.
If God wake us up, we see it.
Mm-hmm.
Soon you turn the TV on, it's death. It's death. And then the crooks are so bad now, they shooting one another up. Like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Dang.
They just kill. My first cousin told me, he said, you did the right thing. Get on away from here. I said, I must. But it ain't no better down here than it is up there. Oh, he's a cub. They were full of guns before you could see. They were walking the street with guns, pulling them, and shooting one another down like dogs. That's pitiful. Yeah, I know what you mean, cub.
Mm.
I know what you mean. I say it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
Men are more, getting worse. God's word didn't lie. He said it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And we still, and then now, We get so tight and bold with it, brother. We gonna let the prisoners out of prison and the people out of jail just because of this radical stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what's gonna happen? The more killing gonna go on. It's gonna say, oh man, shoot, man, I really got it laid now. I'm gonna do my thing. And guess what's gonna happen? They gonna do it. That people gonna die like nobody's business. People are leaving here.
Mm.
It is sad, Brother William. Why are we leaving this so fast? You know, people want men. You try to help those who are. And now, you would think the family would say, now, my mother going into the thing that to get her leg to work right for her, and her hip to work right. Dad, we'll help you. We'll get you situated in a house or something. Or another apartment. They talk about a nursing home. Now, that shows you why I stand there, don't it? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
They show you why I stand there. You know, and when I look at the picture, they don't know about me.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many people tell you I'm going to put you in a nursing home? My brother William, I have no consolation for him.
Yeah.
I just look at him. You put me there, you don't care anything about me. I thought about it today. I just sat there and thought about it. And then I said, and you told me, you said you would help me out. I had rejoiced in my heart. I said, somebody loved me enough to tell me that more than my own family. I ain't got no family. Like I told you, I'm just waiting on them to pay to get well, Brother Williams.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna be trying to come around. I'm gonna say, all the faith. You tell them got well and all this and got better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna show the world something. We're gonna turn it around. We're going the other way. So I ain't gonna play that game. See, because see, if you don't love me now, brother, you don't love me later. You don't understand? Because, you know, but then, we love you. We don't want to hurt you. I know you're faking it. So much hypocrite. Even I looked at us now. If there was one of them there, and I was a child, I said, I tell you what you do, Dad. You come and stay with us until Mama get out of the hospital. And that way we can help you if you need anything. And we might hop, but it comes here and do what they got to do. You see what I mean, Brother William? I have no excuse for that.
Yeah.
Now, if it was my child, I mean, if it was me, I was an older man, or they was an older parent, I'd take them in and say, look, you can stay with me as long as you want until you, you know, you, until your wife come home or whatever, and then you come home, then y'all can go back to your wife and y'all pick up while you started off there. No, they want it. Everything I hear is about some call every home and all that shit. Wait. I don't got no decision in there.
No.
Okay, I got something for you. See, I know this old trick. See, the government don't want to get paid. Who will pay them? Ain't nobody making up, they're going to pay them. I looked at it, I said, tired of me state. See, mama told me something a long time ago. She said, and I believe that too, because Jesus said it too. Jesus said, your family is your worst enemy. Huh? He said, your family is your worst enemy. That's why I don't want to be around them. Huh? You know what I say?
Yep.
I said, I don't want to be around none of them because your family is your worst enemy.
Yep. But you, who wants to be around the enemy? You got to be mad if you want to be around the enemy.
Yeah.
They're trying to kill you in hell.
And you know what? Nobody wants to talk about Jesus until almost death time.
Yep. Something bad happened.
Yeah. They want to talk about Jesus.
Ain't so and so. She finally died. Child.
Yeah. Okay. And I just looked at myself. I said, Lord, you're all I got. I said, I know you're the only one who can take care of me. Because they don't want me around. And this is why I see it. I see the picture, plain as day. And they said, well, Mr. Leroy got a son. I said, what about Mr. Leroy's son? What's that got to do with me? I'm not stopping him from taking care of his son. He came to me, and I needed I need help. I found a little baby going to the hospital. You know, somebody got to help me. He know I got polio. Ain't the first time he looked at somebody with polio. You know I got it. Ain't nothing I can do about it. What am I going to do? Kill myself because I got polio. It's just that. I'll deal with it and keep getting up. I said, but boy. I said, none of y'all ain't got polio. Thank God you don't. I pray to God that you never get it. Pray to God that you never get it. You're going to be in a bad shape. But you don't know how to handle it. And I told my brother-in-law, I said, you know something? This bad situation. I thought loved ones were supposed to help their family come together, but I got to go to a total stranger, a brother that's a brother, then y'all is not a brother. Now, that's time right now. And I'm going to depend on God through all of my trials. I'm going to still depend on him. I know he's going to get me out of this. When he gets me out, talk to my wife, I'm going to say, honey, look, it's time for us to move up. Go higher. Stay with God. That's your best out.
Mm-hmm.
This book, I will never throw it away. I got several Bibles. I'll give one almost every year. Land faith Bible one every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to buy another. But I'm saying this, let's say that. I'm going to lean on God. That's my hope. Family, I can't depend on Leroy. They grin, but it ain't the grin I want to see.
Amen.
Because I would have said, well, you know what? If Mr. Leroy helping you, we go back to Mr. Leroy. We'll come sometime and do something. Nobody wants to do nothing. But let them tell a story. They're a Christian, and they're a bit more Christian than I'm sitting in a wheelchair. I look at my these Christians, right? And yeah, you sure was a Christian, right? Y'all a Christian of the world. But you never volunteer to do anything. That's all right. All my days are coming. When God send me my days, I'm going to speak with God. I thank you for them. But like I said, Now, mama gone, my own sister, niece and nephew don't even come this way. I won't probably hear from them until somebody else dies. You know, so what's on that? What about it? Well, yeah. I said, you know, God's still on the throne. But nobody wants to do what the Bible says. You know, I sit here and think a lot. God, what is we going to do now? I said, we don't hold on to you, God. We're going to be in some serious trouble. But we don't know which way to go. I look at myself every day, brother. I mean, daily. But sometimes I said, which way should I turn? If I turn to the left, I might run into something. If I turn to the right, I might run into something. But if I go straight ahead, I make it. What are we going to do now, Brother William? You hear what I said, Brother William? Brother William. Brother William.
Yes.
I said, you hear what I say? I said, what are we going to do now?
You better serve God. Hold and trust and die in the Lord.
That's all I can say.
That's what we gotta do.
Oh, Brother William, I don't know. I hope there's no bug got in that chicken. If ain't nothing got in that chicken, you can put it in the refrigerator, take it out that big old pot.
Yeah, we'll check it.
And put some water in that pot, but it got some kind of got a little bit.
All right. I got some beans for you too that you love. And I got some beans at the house and bring for you. I'm gonna go get them. Mm-hmm. Why don't you get some Mary share some dinner with us again? And before you leave the last one, I want you to have a taste of it. And you'll like it. All right. We can go on with the preaching the gospel through the Holy Ghost.
Well, I'm going to keep doing that anyway.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to a nursing home. No, I can't see that. They're going to call probably tomorrow. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to put it on out. I said,
God has given you wisdom and vision and knowledge and faith. And if you by your faith say, I'm going to trust in God and I'm going to be okay.
Trust God. He's going to take care of that. No, he is.
Yeah, you're counting on God.
I'm counting on God every day.
God won't let you down. You're not asking God for anything unreasonable.
No. I'm just depending on him.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to do. I was talking to him today. I said, Lord, you got my attention. I mean, I understand mother gone, mother been gone 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then if they gone, almost tomorrow be a week.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but now it's you.
Amen.
It's them. Because hey, you can take her too, and then I still got to face the music.
You got to take time to be holy with God.
Yeah. You let her come home, fine. We'll go right on worshiping.
Yes.
If you don't, still fine.
Amen.
Keep right on worshiping. I'm not the one to quit. And their father said, well, mama go, what you gonna do? Well, you just go.
Yeah.
I mean that's God's business. I tell you what, God's business.
Yeah. Well, if I go, what's she gonna do?
Yeah.
Same thing she's doing right now. Just serve God and trust him.